From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
With her own Comedy Central Presents special appearances on Conan, Premium Blend, and Chelsea Lately, along with roles in Curb Your Enthusiasm, NBC's Go On, and the film Almost Famous, Erin Foley has enjoyed a very successful stand-up career. Add in her creation and hosting of the sports analyst podcast, Sports Without Balls, and her appearance at the September 3rd through 5th Arch City Comedy Festival, and Erin is a very welcome return guest to Craft. Welcome back, Erin.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's good to talk to you again, Doug.
I am very much looking forward to the Arch City Comedy Festival, in which you'll be appearing September 3rd through the 5th, and hearing you go on stage again and talk about your life and all the new things in it. So one of those things, I think, new in a sort of relative way is you've got a new CD, Lady with Pockets.
You know, it's one of these things when you do stand-up that you just have to be really disciplined and motivated, because you could use the same jokes for 10 years. I mean, I would throw myself off the balcony if I had to say the same jokes over 10 years, and that's not being dramatic. So you're just constantly writing, and then you hit a point, I think, where you go, all right, this feels like about an hour. And you want to do the material, also want to kind of retire the you know, maybe they kind of feel like a little bit like you're outgrowing them or something. So then you're like, all right, let's do an album and then, get it into the universe and then work on the next one. So it was really fun because I recorded at the Hollywood Improv, packed house, one take, which I probably wouldn't do again, but it was great. It was, and that's like my home club in LA. So it was super special.
That's got to be sort of unusual, isn't it, to do it in one take? Because I think, like, I've seen a lot of comedy albums where they'll say record it over and they'll give like a week in LA. What made you think one take? I mean, you walked off and thought that's it? That's the one we're using?
Well, I thought it was an 8 o'clock show on a Saturday night. It was sold out. I had a really good sound engineer, and I thought, how badly could this go? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was in charge of, you know what I mean? Like, I had worked with him before, or no, I hadn't worked with him. He came highly recommended. And I just, honestly, I wasn't worried about my performance. I was just thinking to myself, okay, like, it's about an hour. I know these jokes like the back of my hand. Everybody that's coming in to 20 to 30, 220, 230 people, like, they like me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they paid for a ticket. Let's just bang this out, you know? And also, Rooftop wound up distributing, but this album will be that'll be the last time. Like, the first two albums I did myself, right? So, you know, you want to do it, like, cost effective. And I just thought, well, let's just do this. And it was fine. It was totally fine. And I also thought I could just, if something didn't work, I could just do it over, you know, like, it's right. Everything, you know what I mean? If, you know, so, you know, there was things I was super happy with it. The next album I'll definitely do in a theater. Hopefully someone will pay for it. But I was really pleased. It was a really great night.
You want to do the next one in a theater because it's a different quality of sound that you get out of it? Is that it? Or the audience reacts differently?
I think you get spoiled when you start performing in small theaters, because everyone's like, there's just like, the bar is raised there. It's more of a show. There's no check spot. There's no clanking of drinks. There's no, it feels like theater. It feels like a... Right. Like a really super professional, it's sort of like everything's elevated. And I think by your third album, everything should be elevated. So that's the next plan.
So how long until that one? How long do you give yourself, like you said, to be disciplined before the next one comes out?
You know, it's one of these things where I used to be really hard on myself and be like, we got to get the album out every 2 years. And then just sort of life happens, and as you get older, there's just so many ups and downs. And I feel like I've sort of taken off the pressure of like, okay, this has to be done by, you know, X amount of days. And I think overall, if you go through like writing spurts too, where you're like, okay, this is really interesting. This happened to me. And then you go through times where you're like, nothing is funny, you know? The long and short of it is like, I ideally like spring of 2016. That's hopefully it'll be the next one. Yeah.
So you've been doing some other things lately. I caught your podcast on competitive erotic fan fiction. And this, I think the setup is you come in and you get an audience suggestion for a topic, and then you write something on that topic. How long do you get to write it?
Oh my God, it was terrifying. I feel like I already have like post-traumatic, flashbacks. I think maybe we had 15 minutes. Wow. Yeah, 15, 20 max. Because basically, it's my good friend Brian Cook. We were, at the festival in Indiana, Bloomington, the Limestone Comedy Festival. And, you know, you just do each other's shows and Brian's like, do this competitive erotic fan fiction. I was like, nope, that's out of my comfort zone. He's like, don't be ridiculous. I was like, all right, I'll do it once. And so people prepared pieces. So at the very top of the show, the people that don't have prepared pieces that are sort of improv-ing it, like writing it on the fly, you get a topic from the audience. And then you can say no like once, right? Because sometimes these references are like super nerdy sci-fi. And I'm like, I got nothing, you know? And so I said no to something or something gross or whatever. So I said no to something. And then it was Veronica Mars and like something else. And I was like, and the audience clapped really hard at Veronica Mars. Now I live on like, sometimes I live under like a pop culture rock. Right. So I was like, I know who that is, but I've never seen it. I have no reference. But I think it was the best of two choices. So then the show starts of prepared pieces. You go down into the basement of the theater and you have 15 minutes to write this piece. And I spent a good five of that trying to get Wi-Fi to Google who the hell Veronica Mars was. And it was like one bar. You know what? Like, you know, you have access to every piece of information 24 hours a day, except for those 4 minutes when you need it. And I went outside the theater to try to get some Wi-Fi to get like the name of the town. Is she a PI? Is she a cop? I mean, I had no idea, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're frantically writing down some basic details. So you can, you know, just kind of nerdily keep a through line. And so I was like, okay, she's got to solve a crime. And then I just, you know, make her gay because it's just fun because I'm gay. And, you know, threw that spice in because it has to be like erotic fan fiction, which is when you grow up like insanely Irish Catholic, like forget it. That's like your worst nightmare. The word erotic is just like it's just horrible. So it was super outside my comfort zone to put it that way. But I sort of pull it off, maybe. I don't know. I did it.
You know, one of the funny things I noticed with that is you seem to have more on that one than when I've seen you in concert. I don't recall your using as many curse words. And I thought that it's funny that you said you seem to be out of your comfort zone because I thought she's usually not like that.
No, it was like everybody's pieces were so dirty and right. Foul. And so I was like, and I was hearing some of them because I listened to the podcast like when I was flying from LA to Bloomington. I was like, oh, all right. I knew I was doing the show. I was like, I've got to listen to some of these stories. And then I had a panic attack, like mid, you know, United Airlines, because I was like, oh my God, like this is just filth, you know, which does not, my brain doesn't work like that. And so yeah, I was like, yeah. Oh God, I've got to like, just, I don't know.
Curse it up.
Swear.
Yeah, right, yeah. When I saw that you were on it, I thought, well, that's really an interesting thing. I want to listen to it because I've listened to it once or twice, and the folks that are on it, it doesn't seem like the same kind of stuff that I've heard you do.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite.
Which I think it's great that you're throwing in, you know, when you grow up Irish Catholic, so that you can just blame it on being Irish Catholic. I would have... you know, but if I were on a show like that, I would probably say it was growing up, you know, vaguely German American, where, you know, I wouldn't, I tried, I one time as a bet to write erotic fiction. And I found that I could not do it. Yeah. I was completely unable. And so I, as you were describing this, I thought, yeah, I've had that experience. It's not something that I could do. But it is also an interesting moment outside your comfort zone. So,
yeah, I just thought, you know, and then, you know, it went pretty well. And so then Brian sucked me in again at the San Francisco Sketch Festival in January. And I was like, okay, it was just too much of a panic. I'll do a prepared piece. And I did Nancy Drew. And that went over like, eh. And I was like, I'm going to retire. And then I'm done. I'm totally done. Okay. You know, you have to push the limits.
Well, you know, detectives and erotic fiction, you know, they would just never go together, right?
Yeah.
So you have to let go of that. So what other things have you been looking at, and what new things, say, as you're preparing for this next album, are coming into your album? You described it as the third one. You move the game up, and are you finding new things that you want to be talking about in the act that change the process of writing for you, or the comedy?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the change of process of writing. You just get, you know, you get more confidence to kind of push the envelope and be maybe more personal, or, you know, talk about maybe some more politics or religion, or, and, it's one of those things where, like, these are your opinions. This is your sense of humor, and then you'll find your audience. You know, it's not for everybody. But I do think that, it's sort of like, I don't know. I think everything I do now, it didn't start out like this. My first probably 5-6 years of my career was super observational. But then when maybe year 7, when I talked about being gay on stage for the first time, it sort of opened up this world of talking about relationships, you know. And, you know, I always say, like, gay, straight, it's all the same crap. It's just my relationship with, you know, another human being. And so I think I tap that, and, you know, I tap into that a lot more. And, you know, just, yeah, a lot more. I guess I'm just not afraid anymore to, like, really talk about what's happening in my personal life, you know, which is always, like, you know, I feel like at this point you can kind of make anything observational funny, but when you're talking about a breakup or your fears or whatever it is, like, then it gets a lot more real. But for me, that gets 10 times more interesting. So
right.
Probably,
you know, that. When you talk about that, it reminds me of, like, if you're going to date, whoever dates Taylor Swift knows that at the end of it, she's going to write a scathing song.
Exactly.
Do you have that fear that people will not want to be in a relationship because they, you know, something like showing up in the stand-up act? How do you balance that with somebody?
Well, you know, if something happens, like if I'm dating someone and something happens that I think is hilarious that she did or she said, I will clear it, and it will never be anything embarrassing or super personal or anything like that. It'll just be like, you know, just something just funny that everyone can relate to, you know? So that I have a super boundary with that. I would never make anyone feel uncomfortable. Okay. However, even in the breakup, you know what I mean? But I do think there are some sort of, there's always things that you happen during a breakup where you go, okay, well, that wasn't the best thing ever. You know what I mean? And you kind of like, put it in this bubble of, you know, I wish that didn't happen. You know what I mean? But it's never going to be anything like, this person is disgusting. She's all, you know what I mean? Like, because that's just not my thing. But, there is stuff there are interesting exchanges in the heat of the moment, or you know I would never name anyone or anything like that, but just, you know, after a while you have a bunch of relationships, and you know, you can kind of use them generally to be like, okay, I don't want this, I want that, I don't want this.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a really great way to look at it. I've been with the same person for going on 27 years. So there's really nothing that I can say that she won't say immediately, wait, no, you can't, because I know you. Yeah, exactly. And I'm usually the one doing a lot more of the screwing up. So if I were to do this, it would be. The last thing I wanted to ask about is the area that I know the least about. As I may have mentioned before, you have a terrific podcast called Sports Without Balls. And how is that going for you? What are your latest takes on the sports world? And the last time you were here, you made a prediction of, I think we said, Cardale Jones, JT Barrett, or Braxton Miller. I still don't know what's going on there. I don't think anybody does.
Did one of them jump ship, or are they still all on the same boat? Because I figured one of them's got to go, you know?
You're asking the wrong guy. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
Because once I think, we get into the fall more, and, you're here in September, that will be everything. Right now, I'm just not familiar with.
Yeah, me either. I mean, I'll have to look it up. Wherever I go, I kind of take in all the local stuff, which is kind of fun. But right now, I've been on this, 3-week, 4-week high of Women's World Cup soccer.
Right.
And I flew to Montreal. I was doing shows in Toronto 2 weeks ago. And then I took a train to Montreal and was at the semifinal game for USA Germany. And it was probably my favorite live sporting event that I've ever been to. And I've been to quite a number of sporting events.
Right.
It was unbelievable. It was the greatest thing ever. We had such a wonderful time in Montreal. I went with some buddies from New York. And so that's been fantastic. And then, we won it on Sunday. And we'll talk about that in the podcast tomorrow, but it's been really kind of women's soccer heavy for the last couple of weeks. So that's been really fun, and it's like my labor of love. Yeah,
it's really a surprise to me that, and I say this because I'm no good with sports, but my dad watched it and said it was nerve-wracking. And, we were used to like trestle ball where Ohio State would win by, 1 point in the last second or something like that. And he said, that particular soccer match was just nerve wracking for the people watching it. And I'm like, really? Well, I got to say that nerve wracking and soccer aren't things that I normally associate with each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the World Cups when everything is on the line, or the Olympics, it's. I honestly, I was saying to a couple of my friends during the final, basically we went out, we did I say we because I'm a super fan, so I'm part of the team. They scored 4 goals in 16 minutes. So the U.S. was up 4-0. And that was the only probably 10, 15 minutes of the 7 games I've watched where I was enjoying myself. I was a wreck. We'd win or tie. We won most games 1-0, 2-1. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even when the whistle blew and we won, I go, well, we barely won. Our offense looks like crap. You know what I mean? And then I'd spiral out. And
that's crazy. The thing I don't understand about sports, where people who are really into sports are always tell me, oh, I was a wreck during the game and I was so nervous. And I'm like, but I don't want to be in that headspace,
That's what makes me uncomfortable.
But people who like sports, it's such a different engagement for them than it is for me. Watching sports with my family often involves descriptions of the referees' families, descriptions of what are you thinking, and a lot of coaching from people who've never coached.
That's hilarious.
But they know, you should have put that guy in, or don't run up the middle, things like that. And I'm just sitting there going, well, if you're, if you know sports so well, why don't you go coach?
Yeah.
Somewhere?
Yeah.
But everybody.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. We were critiquing the first couple games of the women's game. And excuse me. And I said, I think we should just pause and say we were all watching this game from our lazy boys having a beer. So
right.
They're doing great. They're doing great. Everything's, It's like you get caught up where you think you're playing and you're coaching and you know better. And I'm constantly saying, listen, obviously this coach knows something we don't know because she's the coach. And I played goalie in high school 20 years ago. So I think we have to let them coach and play and just – but it was great. I know I take it a little bit too seriously, but it was just so much riding on this team that had won the World Cup since 99, and they were under so much pressure, and they had such a target on their back, and they did so well, and I was just super proud of them.
Cool. Well, Erin Foley, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today about sports and the great comedy that you're going to be bringing September 3rd through the 5th to the Arch City Comedy Festival.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Can't wait to see you.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.